We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank.
Welcome into That Football Show here, presented by our friends at Holiday Distillery and Ben Holiday, bottled in Bond Bourbon. I'm Tucker Franklin, as always, hanging out with my guy, Matty V, Matt Verderam, hanging out here. Matt, how are you doing? How was your week?
Week's good. Week's good. You know, getting ready for the draft. We are 8 days and counting. I have two mock drafts that are coming out outside this week, one of which is utterly ridiculous. And I'm proud of the public for not at any point in time tweeting to me, this is unrealistic and stupid. If you're wondering, if you haven't seen it, I did an all trades mock. I'm mocking mock draft. I traded every single pick. Made it work with draft charts, but traded every pick. That went out on Tuesday. My actual, like, legitimate only mock you'll ever see from me comes out on Thursday over at SI.com. So working on those. And then my editor had an idea where he was like, look, there's going to be six quarterbacks, Michael, in the first round. Yeah. Give me who's going to be a bust and who's going to be a star. Ooh. And I was like, that's not going to be screenshotted and thrown back in my face in 5 years from now. So I kind of middled it. I did two stars, two busts, and two guys I think will be like, okay. So people can check that out at SI.com. But I am already getting the emails from people. You don't understand the greatness of J.J. McCarthy. Like, okay. Like, look, man, he might end up being great. What do you want from me? I had to go 2-2-2 here. So that was good. Played a little golf for the first time in 2 years on Sunday.
Wow.
But a buddy of mine needed somebody to do a tournament with him. And I told him I really probably am a terrible idea to have as a partner because I haven't hit a ball in 2 years. He said, nah, it'll be all right. I'll give you a handicap. I'm like, okay. And I was not particularly great, but was better than I thought I'd be. And our team somehow came in second. So, we'll take it. We got a big tournament coming up in 3 weeks, so I'm hitting the range every day, man.
You're in now.
I feel responsible. Like,
yeah,
they can win a lot of money. So I'm like, I'm not taking any money because I am by no means going to be a driving force of a victory here. Like, I just have to not suck enough that I'm not killing this. But yeah, man, I'll tell you, those first couple of balls you hit at the 2 years, like, it's like a rusty hinge. And I was never great to begin with, so we're working through it. But yeah, one step at a time. How about you, man? What's going on?
Not a whole lot, really. This week was a good one. Had a good, nice, chill weekend before. Obviously, you know, the draft coming up, it's you know, coming up quickly. I feel like this draft kind of snuck up on me. I feel
a little bit quicker than so. Well, the 1 year that the fucking thing was in May. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
It was like the NFL just wanted to see, like, how many people in our industry would quit.
Yeah.
Like, let's see how many of them will wait it out if we draft on May 30th. There was like a year or two in there. They pushed it to May, which was just, thank God they didn't do that again. But yeah, it's coming up a little quicker than it feels like normal.
I'm curious what they do when they eventually add the 18th game to the schedule, right? Because they're going to have to add the second bye, so then they'll have to push the Super Bowl back a week. So we'll probably... I would estimate that it'd be the first week of May, right? If you're just going to push everything back a week.
Yeah.
But that'll be interesting to see how that all works out. I'm looking at your mock drafts here with your all trades. Hey, people might like your all trades mock draft if they're Chiefs fans.
It's a mental exercise trying to trade every pick. Let me tell you. I had fun with it. I will say this, as much as it's meant to be ridiculous, I did try to like, all right, this team would actually consider moving up here because either they have a lot of picks or like this is a guy that they would. It was actually funny. Like, I had the Colts move up for a receiver. I had to move up for Marvin Harrison Jr. And then Peter Schrager and his mock had him moving up for, I think it was like Rome Odunze. Like, yeah. See? Like, all right. Like, yeah, I make some calls too, Peter. Like, we're trying to figure this out, like, where this is going. So I did try to, like, be accurate in that regard. But obviously, no, not all 32 picks are going to be traded. That's the part where I'm just making fun of this entire process.
That's too bad, because that would be a fun draft day if that did happen. I think it would make the day a lot longer, though. Look, last year the draft, I think we were live for almost 5 hours. Like, I think that day one was 5 hours long. Like, let's get in, let's get out, let's make the picks. You know, that's what I'm saying.
You know what would make the draft more fun? If everybody had 30 seconds on the clock. And it was just chaos.
Yeah.
Like, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds. And by, like, pick five, like, the Chargers are frantically trying to figure out who the top four picks were because they don't know who the hell was, you know, went fourth. Like, that would be – that and, like, the fact that you'd have teams just – you'd have 30 seconds to negotiate a trade.
Yeah.
Just mass panic constantly. That – now we're going to find out who's prepared, right?
True.
You know, the term war room would really come into effect then. Now you don't have 10 minutes. 10 minutes now it should be like the waiting room.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's got time. Sit back. All right, sure. What the hell? Go take a bathroom break. Go get a Pepsi. Now, 30 seconds? Imagine that. Imagine the footage you get then. You get like that. You have like the camera in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Jones just like throwing a table because they panicked and took a kicker. Like, that's what I'm here for.
I think we fixed the draft. I think we've done it. I don't know.
The whole thing would be done in 15 minutes and it would be total panic the whole time.
You know what I kind of wish they would do? And then we'll get into like Chiefs topics. Yeah. I wish they would go back to doing it in like a boardroom in the Marriott, right? But like not broadcast it or anything and just like come out and be like, oh yeah, here's the picks. Like, here's what we came out with. And there's just a press release from the NFL. I think that would be actually hilarious.
That would be so funny if for no other reason, because like the draft picks and a lot of fans these days, because it's such an important thing, people would be losing their minds.
Yes.
What's going on? What's happening? And then like the whole thing comes out at once.
Yes.
Like, oh my God. Like we took some, it'd be amazing. It would be, I'm with you, man. That would be good. Trying to think if there's any other like when I'm a little bit older than you, but I remember when the draft was like a Saturday afternoon. Like when I was a kid, now I sound like I'm ancient. I'm 35 for the listeners out there. Okay, I'm not that old yet. The whole thing was on a Saturday, the whole 1-7. So like as a kid, my dad, like as much as he's into football, didn't really care like about the draft. So like he would be one of those people who'd read it like Street and Smith's in the summer. Like, oh, we got so and so.
Yeah.
Like I never knew when it was on. I'd be flipping through the channels and it'd be like the 10th pick of the first. Like, oh my God. Hey. Yeah, I yell out to my father, like, draft's on. He'd sit down and like watch the Chiefs pick big. Oh, great. They took Marvin Menace. Awesome. All right. Moving forward. Like, but then like SportsCenter, they wouldn't even cover it. They'd be like, here's like the 10 picks you need to know about.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, you had no idea what the hell the Chiefs took in the fifth round. You know, so that all changed probably about 20 years ago. But yeah, like, oh, I remember as a kid when the draft wasn't a thing. The schedule release wasn't a thing. Free agency was like a thing, but it was like at the top of SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Like, try to imagine free agency without the internet. Right? Like, can you imagine it? I mean, hell, our jobs are a lot less stressful, although we also don't have jobs. We're not making money. But, like, imagine, like, you're sitting there. Like, when Joe Montana went to the Chiefs. Now, that was a trade. It wasn't a signing. But, like, you have no updates, nothing. Yeah. There's no Twitter. You're just sitting there, and then all of a sudden, like, and like, you know, like whoever comes on, you know, Rich Eisen's like, oh, Montana the Chiefs, you know, like, oh my God. And then there's no analysis of it, nothing. Uh-huh. And we're just moving forward. Different world, man. Much different world.
It's wild. It is crazy how far we've come and how the NFL has made literally every aspect about their business a must see event.
Yeah.
And look, even it, you're getting press conferences to kick off phase one of the offseason, Matt. Well, that's where we're at. We're like, we got to talk to these guys about their virtual Zoom meetings that they're having. We have to talk to Andy Reid. We got to talk to Nick Bolton. We got to talk to Patrick Mahomes. They did say some interesting stuff, right? This is the first time we've really heard from them since the Super Bowl. So there were some housekeeping things to talk about. Obviously, with the Rashee Rice situation going on, I think it was a no comment from Andy Reid and yeah. Patrick Mahomes, pretty much. Like, that was anticipated, right? They're going to let the legal process play out. Don't really know if there's been any new, anything new come out about Rashee Rice since the last time we recorded. He's facing 8 charges, I believe, all of which are felonies, but could get downgraded. Obviously, you know how the legal system, crazy. Seth Kizer did a really good breakdown of just like the charges and everything on the Only Weird Games podcast on Tuesday. So make sure to go listen to that if you are interested in that legal aspect of it. But I don't think there's been any new developments, Matt, since we've last talked.
No, there haven't been. So we're in a holding pattern there. And the Chiefs, as usual, you know, with this stuff, will say, yeah, you know, we're going to let it all play out and we're not going to write comment. And, you know, we're going to let the details kind of emerge as they emerge. But, I mean, right now, I think the biggest thing coming out of the Chiefs is the fact that, you know, the Mahomes' OTAs are down in Texas, as they seem to always be. The Chiefs seem to be really thrilled with it. They're on board with it. And, I mean, what the hell, man? Like, it is unique. I can't ever remember any other player doing something like this where he's just like, yeah, I'm out of my own camp. And the theme's like, great. That sounds awesome. Do that. Like, he's running the show. And you know what? He probably ought to be at this point in his career. So let him do it. But yeah, you know, look, those pressures, you're never going to get a lot out of Andy. Like, in all the years he's been in Kansas City, how many notable things has he ever said in a press conference? Right, like, it's not like Andy's going to give you a bombshell, but yeah, I think with the Rice stuff, like, it's expected at this point. You know, you're not, until something happens where there's a plea deal or some charges are dropped, if that ends up being the case or whatever, you know, whatever happens, like, you're just not going to hear a lot from this. I would expect the next thing would be something with the actual legal system, and then the NFL taking action. Now, you know, because the NFL, if I'm the National Football League, I'm in no rush to take action here. It's April. Like. Why? I mean, there's no reason to do anything until I feel like I have to.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think, the general consensus that you see from all. I mean, I would anticipate a suspension coming down for him. Depends on how the legal process plays out, obviously. Yeah. But I think we would have said probably this time during the Tyreek Hill situation that we anticipated a suspension to come out. But obviously, the legal process did not pan out like a lot of people anticipated in the month of April when that situation came out. But And there's so many different things.
Sometimes, man, too, like Willie Gay, he got suspended 4 games.
Right.
In a vacuum incident. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, there were people in the Chiefs organization who were furious because they thought, like, he's maybe going to get a game.
Yeah.
He got 4. Now, I would argue, like, Chiefs really don't have a right to be furious. Like, don't throw a vacuum cleaner, throw a wall. You might be in better shape. But, like, you know, it's weird. Sometimes these things are expected. Like, Amanda, who when they signed, and they knew they were going to be without him to start the year.
Right.
Didn't know quite how long they needed to be without. Gay, they were shocked by how long he was suspended. Then the Tyreek Hill thing, I mean, nobody thought he was getting 0 games.
Right.
In fact, I actually remember that was like when I first started reporting on stuff. And I had somebody at the league office say to me the night before that became official, he's not going to get suspended. And I was like, how sure are you? The guy was like, 99%. I'm like, I can't tweet that out because I didn't believe it. I'm like, there's no way he's not getting suspended at all.
Yeah.
And then the next day came out, he wasn't suspended. I'm like, wow. You know, dry. I mean, but you never know. That's the weird thing with the NFL. It's not like there's a policy in place where it's like this many games for this and this many games for that. You just don't know. Like, it can be no games, 2 games, 8 games. I mean, I think the only thing I can confidently say, unless there's stuff that comes out that we are very unaware of here.
Correct.
Deshaun Watson got suspended 11 games. Okay. And we don't need to relitigate Deshaun Watson's situation, but I'm going to go ahead and say that Deshaun Watson's probably the standard bearer for anything that doesn't involve like an unbelievably, like, somebody passing away situation.
Yeah.
He got 11 games. I don't think Rashee Rice is getting 11. It's going to be under that. Now, what it's going to be, a lot of that probably depends on the plea, probably depends on his amount of contrition. Stuff like that, right? I mean, you know, they'll probably take into account that this is a first-time offense for him. It's not like he's got a history of this stuff. So there's a lot of things to factor in here. But, yeah, I would say the only thing I'm confident in is he won't get more than 11 games because that would seem like a gross situation based on what happened with Deshaun Watson.
I think that's all fair. Another big thing that Andy Reid talked about was the left tackle situation. That's been a big topic. He talked specifically on Wanya Morris and just his development and how he said, hey, look, there's going to be competition in that room. I don't think that's something that I think we all anticipate there to be competition in that room. Right now, they don't have that competition for Wanya Morris. I think they have Chu Godrick as the backup left tackle listed on our lads right now on the depth chart.
Yeah, he's not going to be competition. So,
and I agree. So they're going to need to do something, whether it's drafting a tackle or signing another guy. Donovan Smith still available in free agency. Look, they didn't sign him until after the draft. So that could be another possibility where the Chiefs go. What do you think about the Chiefs right now with their situation at left tackle?
I thought that last year they might take a left tackle in the draft early.
Right.
And when they didn't, and then they immediately signed Donovan Smith, I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of that same push-pull thing here. We're like, I think they're going to take a tackle early. But if the board falls a certain way and they don't, I think Donovan Smith is kind of like the break glass occasion emergency signing, right? I mean, people can say whatever they like about Donovan Smith. They won the Super Bowl with him. Like, they know they can win a Super Bowl, right? I mean, and I don't know how you feel. We haven't had the conversation. To me, he was, like, adequate. He was fine. Like, I don't think he was bad. I don't think he was great. Like, I thought, like, he was fine. And with the Chiefs, if you keep Mahomes upright, you're probably in pretty good shape. Yep. So, I would prefer they draft a tackle. I think that is currently the biggest need on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, they're part of this, too. Whether or not you bring in Smith or you draft somebody early, you do need a swing tackle. So, like, Morris can play that role as well. Now, obviously, if you draft the first rounder, you're drafting that kid to be your starting left tackle.
Right.
But, yeah, look, I would expect the Chiefs, whether it's an early pick, you know, first two rounds, or Donovan Smith. Yeah, I mean, somebody's coming into that building. They're not going to camp, but this is their offensive line. That's not going to happen.
And if you just look at the total tackles on their roster, I think they have like four. It's like Jawan Taylor, obviously, is going to be playing on the right side. I can't remember who the other one is.
Well, then they have Niang.
Niang, that is who it was. It was Lucas Niang, which you can understand why I forgot about Lucas Niang, right? No, I don't think he's even going to have even some company. Putting him at left tackle would be, number one, a mistake if he...
Yes.
That draft pick is not a very good draft pick. That's all I'll say about that. I don't need to get myself further in trouble with Lucas Niang, so I'm going to back off that topic very eloquently here, Matt, and we're going to talk about... You mentioned the off-season camp that Mahomes was running. He talked about the Chiefs' newest addition, Hollywood Brown. One thing that, you know, we see Hollywood Brown, we see the highlights, we see he's quick, he's twitchy, he's dynamic. But one thing that Patrick Mahomes mentioned was his route running. And I think that that's really interesting when you look at the receivers the Chiefs have had the past few years, really. They haven't really had that really good route runner, that really, like, the specializes in good crisp routes. That could be something the Chiefs are missing. That's one reason that I was a fan of. I'm a fan of Ladd McConkey, because Ladd McConkey, very technical route runner. I think that adds a value to the Chiefs, something that they haven't had in recent years in their wide receiver room. Sounds like Hollywood Brown adds that to him.
Yeah, I would also, to your point, say not only have they not had good route runners the last couple of years, they haven't had good players. Like Rashee Rice and, to some degree, Juju. But other than that, it's been like, eh? Yes, I would agree. I would imagine that Mahomes saw Hollywood Brown run like a post route and probably needed 5 minutes to stop weeping tears of joy. As in, the next route was run by Sky Moore, and Sky Moore ran right into a wall. I would definitely say that's probably accurate here. In the NFL, I say this all the time, people get so enamored with speed, and, like, speed matters. Of course, look, the more speed you have, the better. Great. If you can't run routes in the NFL, it doesn't matter how fast you are.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It does not make any bit of difference. Like, if you can't run crisp routes, in the NFL, like, corners are too good. The defenses are too good. Mm-hmm. Hollywood Brown has always been a good route runner. I mean, his problem in Baltimore, honestly, was he dropped the ball some. And that was an offense. It wasn't going to throw the ball a lot. I think a lot of times you get a guy in free agency, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, best year probably already happened, and you're getting a guy and you're hoping it's close to his best year. I honestly think this could be his best year because he has played in offenses where in Arizona he had no quarterback for most of last season. The year prior to that, he was having a good year. Murray got hurt, and he missed a little bit of time.
Yep.
And in Baltimore, they never threw the football. Like, this, if there's ever a year for Hollywood Brown, where it's like, look, man, you got everything going on. Like, you're probably not going to get doubled much. You have the best quarterback on earth, and God knows Andy's not afraid to throw it. So, like, here it comes. They should be able to put him in a position to succeed. But, yes, I think the route running – that was why I was happy that they got him, quite honestly. I just feel like he can work himself open. The speed's great. He'll run away from some guys. That's awesome. But, like, it's the ability to separate in your cuts and to accelerate out of your cuts. That is what really is the difference maker for a lot of guys. And I think Brown, yeah, I mean, he showed he can run a variety of routes and run them well.
Are you comfortable with this wide receiver room when you start to look at it now if they do add a guy? Let's say a first-round wide receiver. They had a first-round wide receiver. They add Hollywood Brown to it. Do you think they need to add somebody else? Do you think they need to add a veteran with the pending Rashee Rice situation going on? Or do you think that they're good with just a first or, let's say, first or second-round wide receiver and Marquise Brown?
I am far from okay with this receiver room because we don't know what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. Now, I don't think that Rashee Rice's situation should change the way they draft. I think that would be aggressive. When you're drafting, thinking about a guy for 4 or 5 years minimum,
yeah,
right? You don't change your perception of the draft based on some guy might make it 6 games or whatever it is, right? Like, I think that'd be over the top. That being said, I do think that if you're the Chiefs, you're looking at your room going, okay. Like, and by the way, it's for more than just this year. So you're looking at this going, you got Rice, they got Brown for 1 year.
True.
Watching for a year. Tony, I don't know how you feel, but I am shocked he's back. Shocked. Yes. He's got 1 year. Very rarely do they shock me. That shocks me. Sky Moore, like, this could be his last year if things don't work out. Like, who do you have on this team that is definitely going to be a Chief past? I could argue you don't even know Rashee Rice based on everything going on, but like, I would assume him. Other than him, who's definitely going to be there past 2024? Like, if they bring back Hardman or something, that's going to be a one-year deal, one would imagine.
For sure.
So, like, who's going to... Dude, I can make a strong case, which I think I can. They should draft 2 receivers early. You could do it. Because if you extrapolate the size, all right, let's just say... Like, I was doing one of those mock draft simulators the other day, and I became somebody I hate for about 5 minutes. I did it for the content. So I was like, all right, how could this play out? And when I was doing it, I just did 3 rounds. I didn't do 7 because I'm not a serial killer. All right. But I did 3 rounds. And I ended up in one of them with 2 receivers in the first 3 rounds. I had Jalen Polk in the second round, and I had Jermaine Burton out of Alabama in the third round.
Yeah.
And at first, I'm like, that seems ridiculous. But then I thought about it. I'm like, all right, you're those two guys, for example, Rice, Brown, Moore, Tony Watson. That's 7. But Rice probably is going to start the end of the active roster. So now that's 6. There's your 6. And then when Rice comes back, all right, so what's your mystery IR one of these guys, right? You cut one of them. Like, if it's Tony or it's Moore or it's Watson or whoever, like, yeah, I think, you know, and I know some people out there are like, what about Justin Ross? What about Justin Ross?
What about him? Yeah.
What about Justin Ross? He plan on doing anything at any point in time? Like, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't know that they would do it, but you could do it. I think they have to add at least one, man. Absolutely.
I'm with you. And looking at, you make a really good point about the future roster. Right now, for 2025, the Chiefs have 26 players under contract for 2025.
Like, you and me have a shot.
Right. We really do. Looking at the wide receiver room, I'm going to take out Luis Riz-Zamet out of the wide. For some reason, SpotTrack has him listed as a wide receiver. He's a running back. He doesn't count for me. Nico Remigio, not going to count for me on this one.
No.
So it looks like your 3 wide receivers that you have.
Wow.
Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, and Rashee Rice right now under contract for 2025. Those are your only wide receivers. And Kadarius Toney carries a $14.4 million cap hit for next year.
Yeah, you know it's not going to happen. They're paying him $14.4 million. Yeah. Although they're paying him this year, and I was like, oh, he's gone. And here he is. Here he is. I am floored. But in any event, yeah, man, I think like if you're the Chiefs, you have to get rid of one or two of these guys after this year. You would imagine. I mean, even if things went incredibly well, like they're not going to bring back all these guys. So you're going to have some new blood in there. One for sure. But I think even two is possible, depending on how the board falls.
I agree with you. I'm right there with you. But all right, let's take a break and let's switch some gears. We'll talk National Football League here coming up next, but we'll see you on the other side of this break.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back into That Football Show, presented by Holiday Distillery and our friends at Ben Holiday, bottled in Bond Bourbon. Look, we got a lot of events coming up with Draft Week happening. Obviously, we have our spring tailgate going on at the Holiday Distillery. If you're going to be in town on Sunday, come out to Holiday Distillery, hang out with us. Sources telling me that Craig Stout will be there. Sources also telling me that Matt Lane will also be there and Ken Swanson as well. So hopefully Ken being there doesn't drive you away, but we will make sure that you guys all have the best time. We got a smoking magic, going to have a Bloody Mary bar and food provided as well. Wow. Barbecue food truck. Yeah.
Nice.
A Bloody Mary bar. That sounds intense. I'm not a big Bloody Mary guy myself. I know people go crazy for it, especially like all the toppings you can put on it. I like just the toppings, truthfully.
I'll just show up and tell Kissel that he's putting it on the company card.
That's perfect. Well, I mean, you get drinks. There's games. There's going to be all kinds of stuff out there at Holiday Distillery. Looking like there should be some good weather for it, too. So go to our socials, or you can click the link in the description of this here show to RSVP. Make sure your RSVP just don't show up. We need to know how many people are going to be there. We're also doing our raffle for the Therese Paylor Scholarship to Power Mizzou. Make sure to go check that out on the KCSN socials as well. Have some really good stuff we're raffling off there. Trent McDuffie signed jersey. I believe it was Jerry Sneed. Signed jersey as well. So make sure to go check that out. KCSN socials. You can donate $10 for a raffle ticket. And every $10 gives you a raffle ticket into a chance to win some of those great prizes and obviously benefit our friend Therese and then the scholarship set up in his memory. A lot of good things that they've done with that memorial scholarship there at Power Mizzou at the MUJ school. So a little bit of housekeeping before we had to move on, Matt. But what I really like about this time of year, other than, you know, the fact that the NFL is trying to make an event out of everything.
Yes.
Uniform leaks. The new uniform announcement, the uniform leaks from the Texans CEO, owner, Cal McNair, just tweeting out the picture of the uniform in response to a leak. Be like, oh, yeah, what about this? To the Browns doing a full-on announcement for changing their face mask color, and the Jets actually doing something good. I think the Jets actually did something good with their uniform changes. There's a lot more to come, but I want to get your thoughts on the changing landscape of NFL uniforms.
Yeah. So my favorite thing is Cal McNair. Like all, like it was like he was surprised that like he saw the new uniforms. He was like, oh, are these real?
Let me take a picture of this.
Damn, these look good. I love it. The Browns, now first year, I'll say this quickly. I'm a uniform geek. Like, I love all this type of stuff. So I'm big into this stuff. I love football history. So like I'm big into like knowing like all the different iterations of the uniform. That being said, the Browns have some dignity. I mean, my God, you have a whole like video put out because you changed your face mask from dark brown to white, which by the way, it's an upgrade. I'm a fan. Yep. Like, but see the Browns. Here's the thing with the Browns. They've done this crap in the past where they do some minor adjustment to their uniform, like when they teased out this huge rebranding, and then Jimmy Haslam was like, "Guess what? Went to Sherwin Williams, got the paint wheel, went one shade brighter. Like, great, thanks, Jim, appreciate it. Why don't you just go back to what you wore, like when Marty Schottenheimer was coach of the team, like in the '80s.
Yeah.
What was wrong with that? And people are like, well, it's too plain. They're the Browns. Everything about you is plain. It's just a point. It's supposed to be clean and crisp and clean and nice and easy to look at.
Yep.
Remember when they had those disgraceful uniforms that said Cleveland across the front, had Browns down the side of the pants? Remember that? Somehow they looked worse than they played, which was really difficult since they didn't win a game. But I don't know. You like the white face mask?
I think I do. Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures now. I do think I like the white face mask better than the brown. It's kind of crazy how much a face mask does actually change a helmet. It's not something that you'd think of directly, like right off. Like the Chiefs go to their gray face masks every once again. That's what they do the throwback game, right? They change the color of their face mask to gray.
It's huge.
But like seeing a gray face mask on a Chiefs helmet, it's just like, oh, I like that. And like, you never realize how much the face mask does change things. And I think that the minor change of it, I'm looking at like side by side pictures of it right now with the brown face mask next to the white face mask. And when they're wearing their brown jerseys that have the white numbers, I think it really does pop off of there pretty well. And I've always really liked the brown, just like stripe that they've had on their uniforms. Like, I think that like the stripe is very strong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always thought it would be funny if they put the logo of the helmet on the side of the helmet.
That'd be dope.
I think that'd be hilarious, especially for like their white helmets, right? Like they went to the white helmets, they have the alternate ones. Just put the picture of the brown helmet, or not the brown, the orange helmet on the side of it. That'd be
funny. For those who are unaware, they used to, for a couple of years, they had, it was like right around the 50, like turn of the 50s and 60s, they had numbers on their helmets.
Mm.
And I've always wondered if they'd go back to that at some point. A la the Chargers, who we've seen do that, of course. Hey. But so far, no dice, which is fine, by the way. I'm fine with that either way. As far as the Jets go, the Jets are going back to the 80s. Big upgrade over over that other crap they were wearing. Those things were hideous. I am fine with their Joe Namath era jerseys, or for those of you who are unaware, like the Curtis Martin jerseys. Those are fine. But these are also fine. The old 1980s, the Joe Klecko, Ken O'Brien collection. That's fine. You know, I have no complaints about that. It's a classy looking jersey. It's crisp. It's the first time the Jets have done anything good in about 40 years. it might be longer than that. It might be about almost 60 years now. But yes, a rare Jets W.
Very much so, especially when their quarterback keeps talking. But like, just the cleanness of the numbers and like the stripes on the side and everything, like it's just all very clean, all very timeless, I think is a good way to put it. But making that Jets logo their primary logo was 100% the move. The oval was dumb. The oval Jets logo was dumb.
See, the oval doesn't bother me. I don't mind that. But I do think that this is the better helmet. Listen, anything to distract from their quarterback. Just like if I was a Jets coach, I would say owner, but I don't think Woody Johnson gives a damn what he says.
It's fair.
If I was a Jets coach, or even like his teammate. Every time I heard he was going on another podcast, I'm like, oh God, why? Why? It's almost like he gets into these podcasts and he's like, you know what? You thought I said some crazy shit before? Watch this. And then just comes out with a take that just singes your eyebrows off.
Yeah.
And then my favorite and least favorite part simultaneously of the whole thing is like invariably somebody clips it out and puts it on Twitter, like the craziest, like 2 minutes. And there are always people in the comments who are like, this is true. This is true. This happened. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? You know, like it's just, it reminds you ever see the movie Independence Day?
Yes, I have.
Great movie. When I was a kid, mid-90s, late 90s, I used to sleep over at my cousin's house like 4 or 5 times a summer. And every single summer, we turn on that movie. Didn't matter if we were 8 or like 16. We would turn that movie on and we'd watch. It became like a tradition that every time I was over at his house, that's it, turn it on. Will Smith, let's go, Independence Day. Mm-hmm. There's a scene in the movie where, you know, the aliens have come to Earth and they have already created destruction.
Right.
And yet all these freak shows go to the top of like a building in Los Angeles and they're under the mothership and they're like, oh, like beam us up, beam us up. And then that mothership just opens up and it beams them all right, throws that beam right down, just incinerates them in the building. And I think about those people sometimes. And I'm like, you know what? Some of those people made it out into the wild. Like, some of those people, I swear to God, if that happened in real life, would absolutely just go up to that top of that building and be like, this is it. This gets us away from the government. And then just, no, actually, as it turns out, like, look, I'm not defending the government in a lot of cases. But in this case, to just go on the podcast and be like my favorite part of the whole thing was I did my own research. Which has got to be at this point. Somebody's got to put that on a t-shirt, right? Like, it's got to be at this juncture, like, this saying of our time. Like, well, I can read. I did my own research. Okay, yes. But you're watching someone else's research. Like, you're not conducting a study. Like, the idea that you've done the research. No, you haven't. Someone else who might be crazy did the research. And then you read it. Because as you pointed out, you can read, which congratulations, you can read. You didn't actually do the research. You read a bunch of other people's research. The problem with that person might be normal. That person might be insane. So yes, the Jets, big win on the uniform. Not as big of a win when it's week 5 and it's 24-20 with the 2-minute warning. And you're in the huddle going, all right, Aaron, which play do you like? He's going to tell you what I don't like. The government's policy on DDT in the 70s. Like, I got to tell you, man, we can have that conversation, but like, what? Being a Jets fan has got to be just insanely stressful and also at times depressed.
I can't imagine. I couldn't imagine. There's some other teams announcing uniforms. The Broncos are obviously going to announce uniforms. The Lions, they had their blue helmet that they did last year. They're going to be announcing some new uniforms. Texans, as we mentioned, but there's a lot of new uniforms happening. I think the NFL even announced that they're allowing teams to have a third helmet, which the Jacksonville Jaguars have said that they're going to do their throwback uniforms, which, like, I'm kind of for, like, the Fred Taylor era teals.
Big fan.
Give me those. I want to see those.
You don't want to go to the two-tone helmet again?
God, no. Is that the worst idea that, like, a team has ever had for a helmet? Like, that was
those were brutal. Those were bad. Like, you know what? Like, with the Broncos, just go back to what you had. Like, old school, you know, that, like, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're not a fan of the Broncos. But, like, I got to say, those old school helmets, like when Elway was there for most of his career, those are sweet, man.
Mm-hmm.
Those are cool looking helmets.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to those. Like, the one thing that always cracks me up with the Broncos when they don't play in orange at home, it's like, you're the Orange Crush. That's what you are. How are you not wearing these uniforms? So I should go back to those. The Texans, I don't give a damn. They don't have enough tradition to care. That's just it. Whatever. And then the Lions, again, not to, like, sound like I'm beating the same drum here, but, like, go back to what you wore when you had Barry Sanders.
Right.
Those classics. Don't wear that. That blue helmet, that thing looks like shit. Don't wear that. I mean, that's the one thing. These teams with these monochrome uniforms, it's like, we're going to wear a blue helmet all gray. You'll go, you're wearing pajamas.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, even the Chiefs color rush reds, it's a lot of red.
It is a lot of red.
I love the Chiefs uniforms. I really do. Like, they're one of my top, like, forget that I'm a fan of the team, like, top five uniform in the league. Either them, the Steelers, the Packers, the Raiders, and then, I throw on, like, I don't know, the Cowboys or something, fine. But these, like, they look at ketchup bottles.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that trend of the one color. Like,
it was cool, like, the first couple times, and now you're like, all right, this kind of looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I like all whites. Like, I can get behind an all-white uniform, but, like, if it's all, like, I think Louisville does an all-red, too. Like, it's really prominent in college. In college, they do a lot of these uniforms that are just, like, same color top, same color bottom, like, every single week. And you're just like, all right, let's, like, chill on that for a little bit. I don't know. I just can't fully get behind it, especially when Oregon wears, like, their eggshell ones that are, like, speckled. Like, I like the top, but, like, doing it as a bottom as well is, like, a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
All right, so quickly here. Of all the teams in the league, who needs a redesign the most? Like, who's the uniform here? It's like, that thing's brutal.
The Seahawks. I think Seahawks, too. I don't like the neon green color that they're going. I think they'd have to probably change their logo colors too, but like, I do think that I can't have a neon. This isn't 2008 anymore. Like, we can't have a neon color.
And also, like, the Seahawks had great uniforms.
Yes. The throwbacks that they wore this year are so good. They should be the
I swear to God, the 90s is where we hit the mark.
Yeah.
Like, the 90s aesthetic was awesome. And then we were like, let's just veer off that and go nuts. I will say, I'll give you two teams. To me, like, it is the easiest no-brainer in the world. And I snuck at what we're doing. The Patriots.
Mm.
My God, man. Just go back to Pat Patriot.
Yeah.
How hard is it?
Good logo.
Yeah, like, my God. Like, what you wouldn't think it is, like, a Patriot-looking borderline drunk hiking a football, but, like, somehow it works. And then also a logo that also kind of looks drunk. The Buccaneers. Go back to the Creamsicles. Just and it's not, to be fair, to be clear, I don't dislike the Bucs uniform. Like, they're fine.
Yeah.
But the creamsicles, that was a whole nother level. The last one I'll give quickly, although, again, I don't dislike these. I just think it could be better. The Eagles, go back to your Kelly Greens, man.
Yeah, the Kelly Greens are sick.
Those are so, so perfect. Like, very rarely do teams redesign their uniforms, like, to something they've never done before. Like, not the Jets, who are going back to something, but, like, redesign them, you're like, yeah, that's better. Like, the Bengals, to be fair, I think theirs are better than what they were.
Yeah.
They did a nice job. The Chargers kind of went back to what they wore in the 60s, but, like, fair, like, they're very nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get these teams that are like, let's do pants that the stripe stops halfway down. Like, no. This isn't high school. Come on now. I if the Chiefs ever change their uniforms, I'm going to riot.
Well, I think that would be, like, over Clark Hunt's dead body. I don't think Clark Hunt's ever going to do that.
They like, look, and I don't want to see any of these third uniforms either, these alternate, like, all black. No, please. They have perfect uniforms. Leave it alone. Although I would say I'm with you with the white stuff. Like, go Marty, like, old school. Go white on white in the road.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ditch the red pants. But, like, even that's fine. But their home uniform, it's one of the nicest uniforms in all sports. They better not, like, screw with it, change it. I'd lose my mind.
I wouldn't be opposed to them exploring a white alternate helmet.
I would be. But I would be. But I would be. I will say this. Of all the colors you can say to me, I would at least be curious to see what that looks like.
For sure.
You know?
For sure. And I think, like, if it's a white helmet, but you don't have the arrow, this is going to get blasphemous here a little bit, Matt. Stick with me. You take away the arrowhead outline, but just do the big KC on the side of it. I think we could cook there.
Again, I'd be willing to see it, but I can tell you right now, my immediate reaction is just to be, like, repulsed by it.
That's fair.
I don't get, like, when teams bastardize, like, you have this incredible, like, the Bears wearing those, like, pumpkin helmets.
Oh, I hate that they wear them with their orange tops. Like,
you're the Chicago Bears.
What are we doing?
Have some self-respect. Have some self-respect. It's just, my God, you're not the Texans. I don't give a damn, man. Wear whatever the hell you want. Yeah, okay, you've been around for an hour. Like, it doesn't matter. But, like, the Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers, you know, these teams that have been around at this point for 60-plus years, like, well, the original AFL team. Like, the Bills, by the way. Not bad uniforms by any stretch of the imagination. Fine uniforms. Mm-hmm. Go back to the standing Buffalo-like adults. You know, maybe if you do that, the kick goes straight. I don't know. But I feel like the standing bell needs to be brought back.
I like the red helmets that they had. The Jim Kelly era red helmets.
The Bills have largely dressed well, except for that era where they had like Drew Bledsoe as their quarterback.
Yeah.
And they had more piping on a uniform than anyone I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
The ugliest fucking things of all time. Yeah, but other than that, like normally pretty well dressed.
Who would have known we would have got that much run out of uniform talk?
The people, by the way, one last team that every time I see them, I'm aesthetically enraged, the Falcons.
Their gradient jersey is not good. Dude, why do I keep trying back to do gradients?
Red helmets. Oh, my God. We're red helmets. What's going to be the most hilarious aesthetic of the year is Kirk Cousins in a gradient uniform with the ATL on the front. I mean, this is the most like out of place like situation possible.
Why do I keep trying to force gradients in sports?
It's terrible. It's terrible. Just go back to the classic black uniform jersey.
Yeah.
And go back to the red helmet. By the way, early on in their history, they actually had like a gold stripe on it with classy as hell. Like, do that. Just like, why do we have to reinvent the wheel? By the way, if you're Arthur Blank, you know how much merchandise you're going to sell if you do that?
Yeah.
Just do that. Do that. Like, this isn't that difficult.
That would be a really good look. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at that Falcon summer right now.
Classy as hell.
Oh, it looks good.
It's great. Meanwhile, we gotta look at just the worst uniform of all time. Just all black, the gradient, ATL in the front. Like, as if I don't know that you play in Atlanta. You know? Like, that's like if Kansas City put, like, 816 on the front of the uniform. Like, yeah, no, I'm aware. Thank you. I'm aware that it's 816. Nice.
Appreciate it. Speaking of Atlanta, they were involved in a big story that came out on Wednesday morning about Bill Belichick. This was reported by Don Vanetta Jr. and Seth Wickersham, Jeremy Fowler, voted off the island inside Bill Belichick's failed job hunt. It details how Bill Belichick didn't get a job this time around. It sounds like maybe one of the guys closest to him might have been responsible for that. Very interesting story. Matt, thoughts immediately when you saw this come out on Wednesday morning?
I thought about like Bill waking up and just getting his morning coffee and then just seeing this all-you-can-eat character assassination.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Honestly, like,
yeah.
Bill's probably not the easiest guy in the world to work with. Then again, neither was Michael Jordan. So take that for what it's
fair.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised, but also if you're the Falcons, like, I don't know, man, he's 72 years old. Yeah, I get it. Like, there's more to just considering who your head coach is going to be than, like, how good of a coach is this guy? Like, okay, but is he going to coach like 80? I mean, how long is he going to be on the sideline for? You know, like, if Andy Reid coaches 3 more years in Kansas City and then walks away, are the team going to be banging down his door when he's 70?
Right.
I don't know, man. It's tough. Like, you got to be able to sell that. Now, it did say in that piece as well that Bill's basically circling the entire NFC East, just waiting for somebody to fail.
Yeah.
And then he's ready to jump in. I would pay good money to see, like, Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys start out, like, 1-2, and Jerry do one of his post-game pressers. He's like, I tell you, you know, we got to figure this out. We got to get right. You know, I was talking to Bill Belichick the other day, and, you know, things just, you know, he's got some thoughts on how to fix this. And they just leave it at that. Like, and they just leave it hanging for week 4, like a Monday nighter against the Eagles. I don't know. I'm not surprised by it. I don't know how you feel. I'm not surprised. I also think that Belichick wants to coach again. I think he will. I honestly do think he will. But I think it's going to be with a team that, like, you're ready-made to win a title. And you got, like, 3 years to do it.
Yeah, it's going to have to be something like that, like kind of the situation that Tom Brady went into in Tampa Bay, where the roster was pretty much already set to win a Super Bowl, and they just needed a quarterback
that wasn't
30 interceptions.
Is why I'm sure Belichick wants to do this. Like,
yes, 100%.
You know what I'd like to do? Also win a Super Bowl without the other guy. Like, there's he would never admit that, but like 100%.
I didn't mean to have Jameis Slater. I'm the biggest Jameis Winston fan I know, but I just
he's terrible.
That's fine. But I just can't have Jameis Winston Slater coming out of my mouth because I like him.
How did you listen? Ain't a W.
I think that's hilarious. Like, here's the thing. Here's the thing with Jameis Winston. His college career happened at a time where I was just at a very impressionable youth. So I thought Jameis Winston was untouchable. And I know that, you know, he had done some things like stealing crab legs and stuff like that. I think that, like, listen, if you talk to anybody, I haven't, like, actually talked to anybody about, like, how he's played with, but, like, every time there's, like, someone who played with Jameis Winston on a podcast, they talk about how great of a guy, like, how great of, like, a locker room guy he is. And I think that just makes me love him more. I don't know. I just think I like him more as a person and as just, like, a character than I do as a quarterback, but he is hilarious. He's so funny. He's like the perfect backup quarterback. He's memeable. His workouts in the offseason are just obnoxiously hilarious as well. You're just like, this is not a real person. Like, this is not an actual backup quarterback in the NFL. There's no way.
For 5,000 yards on there.
Yes. And, like, a ton of touchdowns, too. Did he do 5,050? Is that what he did? No, he didn't do that.
No. It was like 5,000 yards, but then also like 34 touchdowns and like 30 picks.
Yeah, 30. He was 30 and 30. That's what it was.
He's the equivalent of like the guy in baseball who hits 190 with 47 home runs. And it's just like anything's possible here. Anything's possible.
It's incredible. I didn't know that talking about Bill Belichick was going to create a Jameis Winston conversation, but
here we are.
Here we are. Look, I do think Bill Belichick does coach again. I'll echo what you said. I do think that there are, like, I think probably just needed, and I think Mike Vrabel coaches again, too. Like, I think that these guys just needed, like, a time away. Like, they just needed, so people got the bad taste out of their mouth, pretty much, essentially. People will forget about that. When next year, when the Falcons go, I don't even know, like, when they go below 500, people will be like, well, should I hire Bill Belichick? Like, they'll move on so fast. These people will move on so fast. The Steelers could come knocking, you know, and they never know what they're going to do with Mike Tomlin. He'll end up being 9-8, though. Like, they'll sneak into the playoffs because that's just who Mike Tomlin is. You never know. You never know what job is going to come open. And I think people will very quickly move on from the past that Bill Belichick had the past couple of years that Bill Belichick has had in New England, and then he'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of That Football Show. We appreciate everybody hanging out with us, sticking all the way to the end. Make sure to check out KCSN's socials at KC Sports Network for everything that you need to know coming up for draft season. So for Matt Verderam, Matt Eve, I'm Tucker Franklin. We'll catch you guys next week with another That Football Show.